Amaret?
Yes.
You know how I love to play with hair colors?
Yes.
And I just discovered some wonderful thing called the imprinter, which my lovely boyfriend thinks is very funny because every time I'm going to use it, I sit in the shower on my knees with tape extension, hair colors, and the imprinter, and just playing around. And I think every hairdresser who likes to play should have one to play with because that's so much fun.
Yeah, I've seen you do it, and it looks really great. I have to borrow it sometime.
Maybe. Okay. it's my play toy.
Welcome to the Hair Pod. My name is Anne-Mariette.
My name is Renate.
This is our last episode of this year. Can you believe?
Yeah.
Where are you going to stay in this Christmas?
I'm going to stay home to eat, sleep, and repeat with my family.
I think I want to copy that.
Where are you going to stay this Christmas?
I don't know how it says, but Sørlandet. Not far from Kristiansand. With my boyfriend's family. I hope if the COVID accepts that I'm go down there, we have to just take it step by step. But we are five in the family, so I think we're going to have fun. And you are going to stay, where are you?
I'm going to stay home with my boyfriend and his children and my daughter and my ex-husband and my mother-in-law.
Wow!
So, yeah, happy, happy family. Like the 20s family.
Exactly. we have a guest with us today on Skype. The quality may not be as well as the studio. So today's guest makes the most beautiful picture and the most spectacular hairstyles. He has inspired a whole world of hairdressers with his work, including us. And he has been nominated and won a number of awards. We are so excited to have you in our podcast. Welcome to us, Angelo Seminara. So, how did your hairdresser career start?
Yeah, it's a long story. it's a very long story, and he's always been a very kind of full-on, exciting career. So, I started when I was probably around 11 years old, and this was just during the summer, you know, because we were four kids and. My dad was traveling a lot. My mom was alone with the sisters and the mother. You know, they were all helping and stuff. But at the same time, I was always this kind of... you could see already, I think, at that age, there was someone that is not going to stay still in life and just stay in one place, you know? So I was very restless. So I had to do stuff. And I was maybe always looking for something different. And, you know, so they said that you have to go and do something during the summer. You have to do a work experience, you know, maybe go and find a job. We're going to find you a job, my grandmother. And they said, let's go to the barbershop maybe. Because, you know, I was small. I was born in a very small town in the south of Italy. It's called Calabria. I think Calabria is a future holiday destination if they get things together, because obviously politically and organization-wise, it's not the best place at the moment. You know, it's never been really. It's all over the place, but the nature and everything there is so beautiful. It's a bit like Norway. It's the opposite. You know, it's the opposite part of Norway, but it's at the same time very warm, you know. So Norway is very cold, Calabria is very warm. Because it's the last part of Italy, you know, it's next door to Sicily. Really, we can go to Sicily in like 20 minutes, you know?
Oh.
So we're, so So it, we can see Sicily too. So it's very beautiful. So I was born there, and I started in the local barbershop at the age of 11. But as a work experience, then I would go to school, and then, you know, when the school is finished, I would go back there full time. I did that until 15, 16. I moved to Rome, started working my cousin hotel, working and living. So I was washing bedrooms and like changing bed sheets for the clients. You know, I was working as a cleaning boy. You know, I had to. I was cooking. I was doing everything. And also, I used to have my cousin always like being really upset with me, because in the morning she would wake up and she would find hair everywhere in the hotel, because I would cut hair during the night. You know, to the customers. They came to the hotel. Want a haircut? So they get haircuts. You know. So it was a great way to experiment. And I worked. I trained in this academy called Torengai, where I just did a little bit, and then at the age of maybe 17, I started going to Vidalsasun training, but like temporary training, not permanent. Like I would just go weekend or 4 days, you know, and do courses, you know, just to make myself more aware of what's going on in general. But I thought it was very difficult to teach me always, because I think you're born with something, you know, and it didn't make sense what people were teaching me in a way. I was always struggling to understand. Maybe I was a bit dyslexic or something, I don't know, but I can, what they would tell me, it didn't make sense. I would see the things slightly different, you know. So I had great teachers, and they all really, I mean, they loved me for the time that we spent together. We had an amazing time in the center of Rome. It was great. And then I started working in the salon, in Salon Academy in Via Frattina in Rome. It's by Spanish Steps, one of the most beautiful tourist destinations. And from there, I did my training, you know, and then I started teaching. I started doing clients. At the age of 23, I met this American Russian Orthodox photographer called Mark Aviliak. And so Mark put me in contact with Trevor Sorby, because I was looking at Trevor Sorby, you know, and then I was looking at his work. So I started to really love what he was doing then. And I decided to come to London to start working. Then I, you know, he's a very long story. I go into details. But then we start really, you know, seeing the possibility, how can I move to, you know, to London, because I don't speak English really well. You need a lot. It's a very expensive country, you know, like, and so I decided I'm going to save up some money first for like a few years and learn English. So I stopped going out with Italian girlfriends, and I went out with English girlfriends. No, I'm joking. But I actually found a girlfriend that, funny enough, she was a teacher. You know, she was a school teacher. I was like, wow, perfect. So and she started teaching me English. She started, you know, direct me into the you know, the culture of British culture. And she started inviting me also to England, so, you know, ever so often. And then I just thought, this country is, you know, England, this diverse. So it's an incredible country where I fell in love. And I said, okay, I'm going to move to London, to England. And so I came here. I applied in many places. Most of them said yes, but then I had to choose where I want to. While I was waiting for Trevor Sorby, I kept at the last just in case, mostly, because that's really where I wanted to go. And so I went to Trevor Sorby. I did my test. They probably thought I was crazy, because when I presented, it was a bit crazy. And they never did anything like that. And at the end, they accepted me. And that's where I kind of based myself for many, many years. I really believe that, you know, you have to be very loyal to something in order to get the most out of it and to have it forever until you die. And to these days, Trevor is like my best friend. He's been like my dad, you know. I'm one of his best friends that he has, and there is an amazing respect. And I love when you can build a relationship rather than just taking this, you know, just jumping around, you know. So the place was very suitable because it was in the center of London, in the heart, in Covent Garden. I could find models there, you know, to do training. I could have the best clientele. And I was earning very good money at the end, you know, which was very good. And it also opened me many, many doors. You know, sometimes staying where you are is great because you can build your life around in your country, in your city. Why not? But also, if you take the risk, sometimes you're going to get a little extra, I think, that you wouldn't get if you stayed where you are, you know. And I have no regrets, so I think I did the best choice I could do. So I was very lucky, I think.
Yeah, oh wow, that was quite a story.
it's a small story.
It's the short version. I really want to talk to you about your pictures, your amazing pictures. Can you take us to the process of your hair collections? How do you start, and how do you do it?
I think you know, to want something in life, to want to achieve something in life, it's not just like, you know, going to an apple tree, you go and you get your apple. It's a little bit more deeper than that, you know. So the way I create, let's say, my work, my collections, and what we do in general, is just purely because I'm passionate about what I do. I just really love it. It's in me. I don't know. For me, it's very easy to think of something that goes on the head, you know, and that associates really well with the beauty and with an individual or with the person, with anything, you know. It could be creating a character, or it could be creating just some simple beauty, you know. So the process is very, I would say, it came together now after many years. It's never been the same, always, you know. It's a constant evolution, so there is not really a process, because it's a bit like cooking, you know. You can boil food, you can fry food, you can steam food, you can dry food, you can do whatever you want. So the nice thing about it is that now I can fry hair, I can steam hair, I can cook hair. I've learned the way to do hair, and I've learned the way to extend hair, to take it to another dimension if I want, or to bring it back. So monitoring the work you do, it's all about really learning the craft first, you know. And the way I get around a collection is very, very simple. I always try and describe in a way almost like, imagine this little bird that is flying around and collecting things to build the nest, you know. And then you build this nest, you know, and then the next thing you do when the nest is finished, okay, you put your eggs inside. Then when your eggs is in there, you have to stay with them for a long time, you know, and just that period of time is very, very important, because you have your ideas, you have your mood boards, you have your concept, you have the vision, what you need, you know, everything, and then all you need to do is just do it, you know, and perfect it. And then, you know, when this is all ready, these eggs, they start cracking, and the ideas and things start coming together. And that is the result, you know, and then you fly with it, you know, like a bird does, flies out of the nest, and that's when the collection is ready. So everything is important in the collection and in the process. It's important to find a good team. It's important to work with people they are passionate like you. It's important to respect people within what they do for you and with them. It's important to create something not just for the sake of doing it, because what we do is art. It needs to stay, I guess, for a long time. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. And otherwise, I call it a test, which is fine. I do tests all the time. Like the other day, I had some old flour from the COVID period when we were locked in properly in the house, where I was making bread every day. I learned to make bread. So I started doing some bread head. I created this wheat out with the braids, and it's really cool. I can share with you. Maybe I can ask Zoe to send you a bread head video so you can see.
Yeah, and that'd be great.
Is there any kind of photo shoot that didn't go that well that you remember that you can tell us about?
So many. But that's why I think you become who you become, because when things don't go well, it's the best thing. It's that something that goes negative is better than something that goes positive sometimes. Because what that negative part, it builds a base for you, foundation for you to build on top. You see what I mean? That's how I think. You know, sometimes from the mistakes, you create a miracle. You know, I believe that mistakes is fine. You know, maybe make sure you don't spend too much money, because that is difficult. Recuperate. So many times I worked with people and there was a little bit of too much ego, you know, that everyone is doing their thing and things crashes. Oh, I want to do makeup, I want to do styling, and in the end you end up with a clown, not a woman, you know. And I think that is something that needs to be squared off from the beginning, you know, with the people you work with. And everyone has to have an understanding of, you know, what you're trying to achieve, you know.
How long is the process? Is it months or is it weeks? Or I'm just curious.
Well, if you're working for a deadline, it's because obviously there is investments, there is marketing, there is production, there is like everything behind that. It could be a launch of a new product, or it could be a Vogue shoot or whatever. So sometimes when you do editorials, for example, you have only like one day to think, you know. Yeah. And then when you do collections like my collection, it doesn't matter. It's like I can take ideas from, you know, maybe 2-3 years ago. They're there, you know, somewhere waiting to just to be released, or, you know. During just last month, I designed in my head at least or maybe 10 collections, 10 new collections for next year. And it's just you elaborate, you know, ideas. And, yeah, it takes time. But I would say an average collection shouldn't take too long than a week, maybe 2 weeks to do it. But then if you do something very, very complicated, avant-garde, and you want to make like a masterpiece of some sort, it could take 6 months, you know.
What drives you to compete photo?
Well, basically, I've done many competitions, and I think everyone should do it because it's fun and it's great. You know, like it's like a game. You know, it's like playing basically with your colleagues, and it could be like national, give me international, it doesn't matter. Today everything is out there on the net, so the best competition to do, I think, and I'm gonna stick to that belief, actually, is only the international ones, because national competition, they're starting to be a bit boring, I think, because they come out of they come out of your country anyway. Anything you do now is international and it's global. So you do one click and you're in contact with us. So I don't believe anymore in national competitions. You know, I think the world is expanding. And I made many mistakes to invest my time in this small competition. So I prefer to do like, you know, bigger ones in the future, I think, if I want to do more, you know. I just, you know, do the competition because obviously it pushes me in different directions, you know. It makes me to expand my knowledge, it makes me to grow, it makes me to excite the people around me and the team, you know, my assistants, you know, it makes me to able to work with photographers, you know, that I love working with, like, for example, Andrew O'Toole, which we are good friends and we just have a laugh when we work together. I mean, he's a great guy to shoot with, you know. And, you know, I think I've always been very giving, you know. I like to share, you know, and I love to, if I do something, not just to keep it for me, to share it with other people. And I think that's what brings success, I think, always.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Can I just ask you, when you first took the competition pictures, did you go right to the nominations or did you have some rounds before you got the nomination? I'm just curious.
I have to be honest, I've always been nominated mainly. Sometimes you don't get nominated because there is reason. Maybe, you know, what you're doing is not really impactful for the, you know, for the judges. You know, they don't think it's that good. Why not? But most, I think 99% always got nominated. And
he was born with that gift.
No, it's because I think if you do something just to win an award, you don't win it. Impossible. If you do something for you, if you see, I'm more interested in getting myself than getting the people. You know, I'm interested in pleasing myself first, because if I don't please me, I can't please the others, you know. It's difficult.
Yeah, that's true.
I also believe that it's important to do what you love and to justify what you do to yourself first. And then if that wins, then you're already, you know, a step ahead, I think, because you can really maybe please other people too. But if you just doing it just so because someone is telling you to do it or because you have to do it, the risk is that you're not going to get anywhere, to be honest. I've seen it before.
Can you tell us about your hair salon?
Basically, I've never really wanted a salon. Even if, you know, when my dad sent me to Rome, his dream was that I come back to Calabria in a small village and open a salon. So I've never given him that pleasure, you know, in life. And I didn't do a salon for me, to be honest. I did the salon for other people. I want to have a salon where there is very talented people specialized in color, especially, and cutting. And I think it was about time now that I did something, you know, because I was always hosted by friends. And, you know, after a little while, you feel like, you know, the people, they're very kind to you, but I don't want to take more, no advantage, but I think it was that time, you know, to do something and to build something really good. So I had a partner, and my partner is asked me 10 years ago if I wanted to open my salon in Harrods with him. And but I was so busy, I was doing like 50, 60 shows a year. And I said, you know, I can't really do that because I don't have time. And, you know, it wasn't the right time. So 10 years ago, I said not. After 10 years, my partner is called George. He came back and he said, Angelo, are you ready now? Let's do something really good. You know, we have this location now. And I said, okay, let's do it. Let's have a look. And then I said, yeah. Saying that is probably one of the most difficult time, you know, that there is to do something like this, and it's very crazy. But I like to take the risk, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, my partner is very supportive, and so I said, let's do it. I feel like, you know, I'm in a good partnership, so let's take the risk and let's try and make the best salon, you know, that there is, which you will take time. You don't start to be the best salon when you open. You know, I think you need at least 2 years, you know, to elaborate and to make things really slick, you know. Mm-hmm. So the salon is in the heart of London. It's like 30 seconds from Harrods in Knightsbridge. and it's on different levels. There is a barbershop downstairs that is operated by the barbers, and then downstairs there is like retail area, restaurant, and then upstairs there is like a cafe, salon, and then they do like beauty therapy. You know, there is yoga, there is tattoos. You can have anything really. You can have a massage. Wow. So it's a beauty destination. So I recommend you to come. I always go and have my nails done.
We will come.
Massage, yeah, everything. Yeah, it's great. We have doctors in there for like you know, dermatologica. You know, so it's really good. Not dermatologica around there for the dermatology. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What does it take to join your team?
Yeah, at the moment, because obviously we're in the COVID situation and we have a very restricted number of people that we can have. So that is reducing the income of like 50%. So it's the situation we are, so leave it or take it. We can't have too many people at the moment because, you know, if you have, let's say, 20 seats, you actually only have 10, you know, half. And because the social distancing, and we all know this anyway, so it's the way it is. And until, you know, things get better, it's, you know, the way it is. So to join my team, they need to send a CV. They can check on Angelo Seminara Salon on Instagram or, you know, anywhere on Google. And they take from there, you know, then they will email and then, you know, when we do interviews and stuff, they will let them know, basically. It's the usual procedure, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't have to have something really special to join your team? I just have to ask.
Well, that comes after.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
First is you have to send your CV, and then we'll see if you know you who you are matches with our hearts, you know what I mean? So, you know, our philosophy is about individuality. You know, I like people that they can really please people. I don't want to have a hairdresser they take anything from the client, but I want hairdressers they have something to give, you know, to the client, because I think customer service is very important and is at the first, believe me or not. I think hair comes with it, but I think it's important that, you know, the people are super nice, super cool and positive and friendly, and they have a good attitude, they have good understanding of beauty, they need to have good understanding of everything from retail, you know, to they need to be passionate, you know, and I'm not this kind of, let's say, boss, you know, that you have to. I don't want people to be like me, you know, because I don't wish them to be like me, because it's hard work, you know, and I've always beat myself up too much, you know, to become who I am. And it's not always a nice life. It's not always shiny, you know. You know, so it's tough. But I just want, you know, the hairdressers to provide the best service and do amazing hair, you know. So if you're a haircutter, you have to do amazing haircut. It's not just about cutting hair. It's about everything, you know. It's about designing the hair. You know, it's about making sure that, you know, that look that you're creating suits the person. If it doesn't, maybe you need to have a 6 months plan and say, come back, you know, and then we can do this, you know. It's that relationship, you know, between the client and the stylist that is very important. You must understand that the busiest salon is in the busiest stylist in the salon is not the one that is the best. It's actually the one that cares the most. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. People, exactly.
Yeah. When I go to a salon, I want it to be treated well, and I feel comfortable. And like, oh wow, this is so nice. You know, this is so relaxing. You know, and this is so good. And then at the end, of course, wow, he did a really nice haircut. So that client will never move from you anymore, you know?
Exactly.
If you go in and you have a hairdresser that is just moody, maybe he smells of cigarettes or like he's you know, I hate that. I can't stand it. Sorry, I shouldn't say that because I used to smoke. But yeah, I, you know, if you have the hairdresser that is kind of, how can I say, superficial, you know, maybe not really into it, he's just doing the job, you know, the client feels it, you know. Yeah, I think it's so important. It's no point to having a salon if you don't do this or go work in a salon. I never remember being non-fully booked in my life. From the age of, like, let's say, 17, 18, when I started, always, always fully booked all throughout my career. I never had a gap to say, oh, I can go and sit in the staff room. Never. So that was because I was caring about my customers. You know, I was caring about what I'm going to do. I was giving them the max, you know, what I could. So the consultation would not last 3 seconds. It would last 10 minutes sometimes because I need to dig in their personality. I need to dig in their brain. You know, I wanted to see what's in there. What is this client? What can I do to make this client really feel good, not just look good? I want to give the best of what I can. So, and I made a lot of tips.
That's great.
Okay, what's the next big thing for you to do?
Well, my next big thing, I can't show you. I wish I could because I'm really proud, but I'm creating some new tools that I'm working on. They're going to work in harmony to create the most impeccable, most incredible hair coloring.
Wow.
Yeah. But this was the cherry on the cake. It's what was missing for me for many years. And now, you know, I think we're there. But it's taking me about maybe 10 years.
Whoa.
On my career, on my life, to create. First, I created the flamboyage. I don't know if you know, it was, you know, it's called flamboyage, you know. And but flamboyage will be redesigned now. We're going to make it a little bit more sustainable in a way, you know, because obviously doing tools, you have to always care about these things if it's possible. Like, you know, when you do foils, for example, I like for tin foils and all of this, this is not recyclable. Imagine the amount of foils that goes, you know, in dispenser, you know, like. So I think, you know, to achieve something new sometimes, you know, there is a price to pay. And we all want to try and be sustainable, but sometimes you can't be 100%. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be driving cars. We wouldn't even have this computer here. It's made with lithium, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So we have to do what we can. But, you know, for the love of the art and the beauty, sometimes fashion can become, you know, aggressive to the for the ambient.
Do you love coloring the most?
I've never been a colorist. I'm not a colorist. And I probably will never be, but I'm a color visionary. So I can do color, I can apply color. I wouldn't apply in the way the other people applies it. I will be more like freestyle, you know what I mean? And more, I'm not someone that will spend all day doing highlights, you know, and for all my life. Not because it's not a good job, but just because I'm a little bit impatient, you know what I mean? I prefer to cut hair. Because when you cut hair, you see something happening instantly, you know what I mean? When you do color, there's that process, you know, that of time that you need to wait for. It's like baking, you know? You never know if the bread is cooked until you look at it and, yeah, you know, it's ready or not, you know? So it is the same. So cutting hair is very different, and dressing hair also is more instant, you see? So that's why I prefer that, I think. And now probably if I was born now, I would become a colorist because the technology of colors and the way they make colors now is much more friendly to everything, really, to the scalp, to the smell is really gone, you know, the bad odors and all of that. So it's much better, I think. But before, because I was born in the, let's say, in a small village and in the middle of the nature, the first time I walked into the technical department where they do colors, I couldn't wait to leave that room because the smell of perm, it was not environment. And people are, why you didn't become a colorist? Because I didn't like the smell of it, to be honest. I couldn't deal quickly with something like that. And that has killed my career as a colorist. And it's like, but really? There's things that smells worse. And it's like, no, there's nothing that smells worse than what he was, you know. Now colors don't smell, especially the new I'm working with, they have amazing colors. So, yeah.
We have some regular questions that we ask everybody. Do you have any tips for the hairdressers out in the world?
Yeah. The biggest tip that I can always give a hairdresser is, if you don't like this job, it's probably because you don't have the right energy around you, I think. Because it's a fantastic job. And if you're feeling down with it, or if you're feeling a bit like fed up with it, trust me, there is many ways, you know, and I wish I could help all these people, but I wouldn't know how, you know, because everyone has highs and lows and in life. And I think our job, it takes you to so many areas if you want to. You just need to have your mind like a parachute, you know? The parachute only works when it's open. Yeah, just open your mind and you will come on the other side, you know, always. I mean, that's the tip I can give, you know?
Yeah, that's a great tip. What inspires you?
I've always saying that, you know, Mother Nature, but people think it's just plants and trees, and it's not. Mother Nature for me is everything. That encapsulates from forms, shapes, music, you know, sounds, anything that can inspire me. Even like flower, you know what I mean, to make some redhead, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think inspiration is always, always in front of you, right there. But sometimes you just need to step a little bit back to watch it twice, you know, and it's there. So inspiration, the main expression for me is nature, but also is the woman in itself. I get inspired by watching a woman moving, talking, from the gestures. It doesn't matter who this woman is. She can be the most nice woman, or the most aggressive woman, the most crazy woman, the most sweet woman. It doesn't matter. Her personality, you know, I mean, she would still inspire me to do something and work with her, you know, character in general. So it doesn't have to be a model, doesn't have to be an actress, you know. I think the woman inspires me most of everything, you know. But only a woman that wants to be open, you know what I mean, to talk and to be herself, you know, that's easier always.
Mm.
But nature is incredible, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you in 5 years?
Sorry?
Where are you in 5 years?
If the COVID doesn't stop, probably I'll be dead. I keep things going wrong. It's been a tough year, so I don't even want to think about it, where I'm going to be 5 years. I think my dream is in 5 years exactly, actually. Sorry, in 5.5 years, I would like to be in Japan, in Tokyo, with my partner, to live there for like maybe from 6 months to 2 years. That's one of my dreams, to experience life like that. So that's why I go Tokyo. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Angelo Seminar Hair, or just Seminar Angelo, you know, like, or Angelo Seminar Salon sometimes, but not much. Mainly on Angelo Seminar Hair and Angelo Seminar Facebook also.
Yeah.
sometimes, but I'm not very present on Facebook.
What products and hair color do you have in your salon?
Okay, so in the last 10 years, I worked for a brand, an Italian brand. Now I moved to a new brand called Goldwell. And I use exclusively Goldwell colors and Goldwell products. And I'm actually not just on a business level, but just on a practical level. I'm super, super happy because the performance of obviously the colors, the performance of the quality of the products is really, really amazing. I don't know if you have tried it before yourself, but I'm super happy, super happy.
What's special with Goldwell? I never tried it, actually.
Okay, what's special about Goldwell is that it's like, how can I say? When you do color, it's like jumping from a building and landing, and you know, nothing happened to you. I feel secure, you know? I feel like I have the parachute all the time when I use those colors. They just give you beautiful luminosity, especially a lumen. And, Top Chic also is an amazing color if you never tried it. They're really, really top colors, I think. And I've worked with all the other brands. So they're very easy to use, very easy to communicate to the staff. For example, I had to convert all my salon into this new product, and it was actually quite easy. I had no complaints. People really understood what they stand for, how it works. So, you know, being a Japanese German heritage is incredible. So they're quite impeccable. So I have to say, and I'm not saying this because I work for Goldwell. I'm their ambassador. I say this because it is what it is. You know, it's just great. So,
and it doesn't smell. It smells good.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you use in the salon?
Sense Therapy. It's a Scandinavian hair color made in Denmark.
Ah, okay.
Without the ammonia.
Okay.
It's more like. So the smell as well. It smells really good.
Oh, Sense Therapy is called. Sense Therapy.
Sense Therapy, yes.
Like scent.
It's very good on Scandinavian hair because you can get the cold hair colors very easily.
Ah, for the to cool it down. Okay. One day I'll visit you in Norway. If I come. If you send me your address or something where you are, I'll come to your salon. You work at the same salon?
No, we work at the same hair salon group, but different salons. So yeah.
How do you spell Arpoden?
H-A-A-R.
Yeah.
P-O-D-D.
D-D-N. It's the one they see. Yeah, it's on the screen. Arpoden.
Yeah.
Arpoden.
Okay, I will come one day, and I'll come for a blood drive.
Yeah, you have to tell us when you are in Oslo. We really like to meet you.
Actually, I go to Norway every winter skiing.
Yeah.
I don't ski though. Yeah, I have to say sorry about it. I'm more like a swimmer, you know, because I was born in South Italy. I'm not really into the snow, but I just love going there, you know, with my family and my friends. We go to Jailo. We go to like all kinds of like different places, you know, like with this every year we go to different places.
Been the ski camping holidays, and you love Norwegians Christmas dinner as well.
Yeah, yeah, lutefisk.
Yeah, yeah.
Pinnekjøtt is my favorite.
Pinnekjøtt is my favorite as well.
Yeah, I love. You know what? It's not easy to do it though.
Pinnekjøtt?
Oh.
No, it's
yeah.
Very easy.
No, it's not. Because, you know what, there's that, you remember that pub, Laurie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still there, that pub?
Yeah. Yes,
he's
still there.
Sometimes I used to have it there, you know, in the winter.
Oh, it's like a nice place.
Huh?
That's a really nice place.
Yeah.
I used to go there, and then they used to make it very soft also. There was some sauce that it was like liquid, you know, like really almost like clear sauce, really nice, not too. And it wasn't dry, because pinnechet can be very dry, you know, and it looks like wood. It's like, because it's, so they need to cook it really well.
Yeah.
Just don't cook in the house, because the whole house will smell.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Terrible. In your neighbor's house, and just pick it up when it's done, and eat it at home.
Clever.
it was very nice talking to you, Angelo. Thank you so much for joining our hair pub.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Follow us on our social media, Harpodden on Instagram and Facebook, Harpodden. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Ciao.
Ciao.